As usual, we'll do a review from the last time. And the last time we covered chapters 44 and 45 of Isaiah. And so as soon as we get this going, I'll get that clicked up here for you. There we go. Okay, review from the last time, chapter 44. Chapter 44 was had a theme, and that is Israel's Redeemer. Redeemer or Deliverer. And this is going to be a recurring theme through much of the rest of Isaiah. We come across this word Redeemer 13 times in the book of Isaiah. And all in chapters 41 through 63, the last part of the book. And because of Israel's Redeemer, Deliverer, Israel will be revived spiritually in the kingdom after Jesus Christ returns to this earth. The middle of chapter 44, there was a section where God calls out idolatry because idolatry has plagued Israel throughout its history. It's one of the major sins with Israel besides Sabbath breaking. And because of this idolatry and other sins, Israel would go into captivity. They went into captivity anciently, and the modern descendants will go into captivity in the future. And finally, the last part of chapter 44 was a prophecy regarding Cyrus of Persia, the king of Persia. And Cyrus would conquer Babylon. We talked about that the last time. Babylon fell to the Persians without even a battle. We talked about the fact that he diverted the river that went under Babylon, under the gates, so that his armies could go under the gates and actually captured them without even any battle taking place. And what's so important about this prophecy, or what part of it that's so important, is Cyrus was named way before he was even born that he was going to do this, that he was going to conquer Babylon. Now, many Bible critics, I don't remember if I mentioned this the last time or not, but many Bible critics will say, well, that can't be the same Isaiah, that this must be another Isaiah who wrote later on after this actually happened. And even some commentators will say that. But if you don't believe that God can predict things ahead of time, then you don't, you're a critic of this particular event that happened. And this particular prophecy regarding Cyrus of Persia continues in chapter 45. Chapter 45 focused on the prophecy of ancient and future deliverance of Israel. The deliverance of the Jews by Cyrus's decree in 539 B.C., and pointing to the future deliverance of God's people by Jesus Christ when he returns the second time to this earth. The middle part of chapter 45 had a section focusing on God's control of everything in the events of mankind. God is in control of all events. And the last part of chapter 45 was a section that in the future, Israel and the world will be taught who the true God really is. That was a brief review from the last time. Now we'll move into chapter 46. Chapter 46, prophecy of deliverance, anciently the deliverance of God's people, and also future deliverance. And this theme continues on chapter 46 through 48. Ancient Babylon fell, and future Babylon is going to fall, and God's people will be delivered. In verse number 1 of chapter 46, it begins with focusing on the false religious system of Babylon, because it will fall as well. Verse number 1 of chapter 46, Bel bows down and Nebo stoops. These are Babylon's gods. The figure of them falling down and stooping is that they will fall. The idols were on the beast and on the cattle. Your carriages were heavily loaded, a burden to the weary beast. Now, Bel and Nebo were Babylonian gods. And I have a comment from the parallel commentary here on the screen. And it reads, Bel is a derivative of Baal and signifies Marduk. Marduk was the patron deity of Babylon, the central and highest idol and god of Babylon. And Nebo was the son of Bel or Marduk. And this verse number 1 tells us that the gods of Babylon were indeed brought down. In the middle part of the mid to the little middle to last part of verse number 1, we see this phrase, "Your carriages were heavily loaded." And that points to the idols that were carried in a religious procession. In Babylon, the most important festival that they had was the New Year's festival. And that took place around the spring equinox. And they would bring in all the idols from around the Empire of Babylon, bring them in, and then they would put them on carts and carriages, which would have beasts, cattle, etc., carrying them throughout the city of Babylon. And as these carts went by with these idols on them, the people would bow down and worship them. And that was what took place in the New Year's festival, which was the most important festival in ancient Babylon. And that's what this is typifying what they did. Verse number 2, talking about these idols, they stoop and they bow down together. In other words, they fall. They could not deliver the burden. When Cyrus conquered Babylon, they could not save the city of Babylon or the empire either. But they themselves have gone into captivity. When the idols were made in the ancient world, they were made of gold, silver, and precious metals, etc. So they were very, very valuable. And when one nation conquered another one, they carried away their idols because they were so valuable. And that's what this is pointing to. The last part of verse number 2, or the verse number 2, it says they could not deliver the burden. The gods of Babylon could not deliver them from the defeat at Cyrus's hand. And this points to something in the future, the false religion of Babylon to be destroyed at Jesus Christ's return. Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Babylon is fallen, Babylon is fallen, etc. And then the last part of verse number 2, where it says that they have themselves gone into captivity, pointing to that idols get taken away by conquering nations. So not only does Babylon fall, but its religious system falls as well. Now, there's a lesson for this in God's people, especially pointing to the future. Notice here in verse number 3, there's a call for Israel to hear. It says, it begins with, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb." Notice it says, the house of Jacob and all the remnant of the house of Israel. When Isaiah wrote this, the northern tribes of Israel were already into captivity. They were gone away. So who is this focused to? The modern descendants of Israel. Again, who have been upheld by me from birth, and who have been carried from the womb. In other words, God carries Israel. In the middle part of verse number 3, we see the phrase, the remnant of the house of Israel, focusing on the modern descendants of Israel, that God is watching over them and will rescue them from the time of trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 7 and 8. Verse number 4, we see that God carries Israel, and he will in the future, after they come out of a time of trouble. Verse number 4, even to your old age, in other words, all your lifetime, I am he. And even to great hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. So God says here in the last part of verse number 4, I will carry and will deliver you. In contrast to the pagan gods who must be carried, as I mentioned, they were carried around in their carts in the religious procession and worshipped and bowed down to. In contrast to those pagan gods who must be carried, God carries and upholds his people. And God shaped and planned for Israel's future, and they will be delivered at Jesus Christ's return. Now, there's a lesson in this for all of us. God upholds and carries us if we are faithful to him. And we want to continue to be faithful to God, and he will uphold and carry us. continuing on now in verse number 5, as God continues addressing Israel, he says, "To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike?" You know, God is not compared to any idols at all. Verse number 6, talking about the idol worshippers, they lavish gold out of the bag when they form an idol, and weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith, and he makes it a god. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. And again, in the New Year's festival in Babylon, that was the time that they worshiped all these idols as they passed by in the procession. Verse number 7, they bear it on the shoulder, the idol. They carry it. And they set it in its place, and it stands. When an idol is made, it is carried to a shrine where it is worshipped. Continuing on, from its place it shall not move. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. So this section is telling us that God is incomparable to any of the gods that are formed by men and those idols that must be carried around. And then they're set in a place where they cannot move nor save anyone who is in trouble. Continuing on addressing Israel in the next section, verses 8 and 9, God addresses Israel who has transgressed against him. And it goes on to tell us that only God can predict the future. Verse number 8, remember this and show yourselves men, in other words, act as men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors, Israel. They were caught up in idol worship. And because of that, the northern tribes went into captivity, along with Sabbath breaking and many other sins. Verse number 9, remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Verses 9 and 10 are focusing on the fact that God has the power to bring things about according to his design and his plan. As he says in verse number 10, declaring the end from the beginning. And God declares what will happen in the future. And he proves that with the prophecy of Cyrus. Again, an amazing prophecy that was told about 150 years before it actually happened. Verse number 11. Here's the part of the prophecy. Calling a bird of prey from the east. Now, if you're reading in the King James Version, it is a ravenous bird from the east. Persia was located east of Babylon, where Cyrus the king was. And so this Persia was coming from the east to conquer Babylon. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. So verse number 11, as a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel, pointing to Cyrus, who fulfills God's plan to release the Jews from their captivity. That's what happened anciently. And Cyrus is a type of Christ, coming in power to redeem, deliver his people in the future. Continuing on in verse number 12, another call to Israel. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, who are far from righteousness. You stubborn-hearted, this is another call to Israel, because Israel has been stubbornly against God throughout the ages and not obedient. Then we come to verse number 13, which is a wonderful promise. God says, I bring my righteousness near. Only Jesus Christ can bring true righteousness. I bring my righteousness near, it shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger. And I will place salvation in Zion. Zion Jerusalem. Through Jesus Christ, salvation will be placed there. For Israel, my glory. So in verse 13, God says, my righteousness and my salvation shall not linger. And that's pointing to the future. And with the return of Jesus Christ to rule righteously, salvation shall be near to Israel. So that winds up chapter 13. Now we move into chapter 47. And the focus here is a prophecy on Babylon. Babylon and its fall. This is a dual prophecy. Number one, Babylon fell to Cyrus, anciently, which we've been talking about. And that points to the fall of end-time Babylon, Revelation chapter 17 and 18. So we had a couple of calls to Israel in chapter 46. Now chapter 47 begins with a call to Babylon. Verse number one. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sitting in the dust is a figure of humiliation when it is brought down. Notice it says, a daughter of Babylon. A daughter is a descendant. And this is pointing to a descendant of Babylon. But it's also called a virgin daughter. The quote here that it claims to be a virgin. Claims to be a virgin, but a lover of many gods. And this typifies the false Babylonian system. So it's going to be brought down, the figure of sitting in the dust. Continuing on in the middle of the verse, sit on the ground as it's brought down without a throne, because the throne is taken away. It's not going to rule anymore. O daughter of the Chaldeans, for you shall no more be called tender and delicate. Delicate or luxurious. This word tender here is interesting. Because it comes from a Hebrew word which is used in a derogatory sense of its character. Of its character. And its character, of course, of religious corruption. And it's going to be brought down. So the daughter of Babylon here in verse number one, a descendant, points to the future. Primarily to end-time Babylon that is going to be brought down. Again, Revelation chapter 17 and 18. And Babylon is personified with theological implications. But it is going to fall. And it's going to fall because of God's vengeance upon it. Verse number two, take the millstones and grind meal. Thinking about, you're going to be brought down a notch from your rulership position. Take the millstones and grind meal. Remove your veil. Take off the skirt, uncover the thigh, which is figurative of being shamed. And the last part of verse number two, pass through the rivers. Babylon not only had the Euphrates River going through the middle of it, it was surrounded by other rivers and streams, etc. So the figure of passing through the rivers was, you're going to go out from Babylon and you're going to lose your power. Verse number two here, again going back to it, we see the figure of a slave girl being shamed and indecent exposure. That points to Babylon to lose its status as ruling over the nations, that its power is going to go away. Verse number three, your nakedness, and I'll add spiritual nakedness, shall be uncovered. Yes, your shame will be seen. And when we read Revelation chapter 17 and 18, when Babylon is finally revealed to the world what it was, its shame will be exposed. I will take vengeance, God says, and I will not arbitrate with a man. In other words, no man can oppose God in his vengeance and his purpose. Verse number three, we see this phrase, your nakedness shall be uncovered. It's spiritual nakedness. And God says, I will take vengeance. God's vengeance on the captors of his people, both anciently and future as well. Verse number four, we focus on this, our Redeemer, and this is in comparison to God's, in comparison to Babylon's gods. As for our Redeemer, Deliverer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Here's another verse, and we've seen many of them in the book of Isaiah, where Isaiah uses the divine titles. Redeemer, Lord of hosts, the Holy One of Israel. So he uses these divine titles. And notice our Redeemer, which is shows God's intervention for his people. God did that anciently with Babylon's defeat, and he's going to do it in the future as well. The Redeemer, Deliverer of God's people. Verse number 5, sit in silence, go into darkness, figure of judgment. Sit in silence and go into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, the descendant of the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. For you shall no longer be called the Lady of the Kingdoms. God says, go into darkness, figure of God's judgment upon Babylon. And it's no longer called the Lady of the Kingdoms, you know, the Queen of the Kingdoms, the ruler, etc. The Companion Bible has an interesting comment about this verse. It says this, a comment about this phrase, the Lady of the Kingdoms, which means the mistress of the kingdoms. It goes on to say, the king of Babylon called himself the king vicar, which is a special religious position. And so the popes call themselves and so are addressed when crowned, because they claim to be representatives of Jesus Christ. And this goes all the way back to ancient Babylon and has continued down throughout the ages. You shall no longer be called the Lady of the Kingdoms. Verse number 6. I was angry with my people because of their sin, their idol worship, their Sabbath breaking, etc. I have profaned my inheritance. Now, if you're reading in the King James Version, it's I have polluted my inheritance. The New International Version is desecrated my inheritance, which means to punish. In other words, God punished his people because of their sin. And given them into your hand. He allowed them to go into captivity. Babylonian captivity for the Jewish people in the past. And there's going to be a future captivity in the future of God's people because of their sins. Continuing on, you showed them no mercy. Babylon didn't. On the elderly, you laid your yoke very heavily. So God allowed Babylon to conquer Judah anciently, my inheritance, and they treated the elderly captives harshly. And God allowed his people to go into captivity because they polluted and profaned his name, especially with idol worship. Verse number 7, we see the pride of Babylon. And you said, I shall be a lady forever. You know, I'm going to be the queen of kingdoms forever. So that you did not take these things to heart, nor remember the latter end of them. I shall be a lady forever. In other words, Babylon didn't even consider that they could be defeated, but to be an eternal queen of the kingdoms and ruling over the earth. Therefore, because of Babylon's pride, God says, therefore hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, you who dwell securely, or they think they dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am, which is a divine title, I am and there is no one else. I shall not sit as a widow. In other words, I won't be lonely, nor shall I know the loss of children. They won't be deprived. They think they're securely and proud and that they can't be defeated. So they were so overconfident, they didn't think they could lose their power. We see this title that they like to profess, I am, which is a divine title, and there is no one else besides me. They thought of Babylon thought of herself as God, I should say, but she's completely wrong. Another comment from the Companion Bible, I don't have this on the screen, but I have it in my notes here, where it says, I am and there is no one else. Companion Bible says, Babylon and Rome claim these divine titles, that I am and there is no one else besides me. Verse number 9, but these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day. The judgment upon them is going to happen quickly and suddenly. The loss of children and widowhood, which is a figure of being defeated in desolation. The loss of children and widowhood. In the ancient world, to lose children and to be a widow was a terrible thing because they relied on their families in the ancient world. They had very huge, huge families so that they could take care of one another and take in the crops, etc. And so to lose children was a terrible thing in the ancient world. And it's a figure of desolation. They shall come upon you in their fullness, or the full measure, because of the multitude of your sorceries. The judgment's going to come upon them because of their sorceries, and for the great abundance of your enchantments. So God says in one day, judgment is going to come upon them. In other words, that they would very quickly be defeated. And I already told you the story of how Babylon was defeated by Cyrus, where they sent the soul army under the gates of Babylon and took them without even a battle. It was very quickly and suddenly. In fact, in Daniel chapter 5, I don't think I mentioned this before, but in Daniel chapter 5, the king Belshazzar was having a great feast, and the wine was flowing. They weren't expecting this army to come upon them, but it did come upon them, and they were defeated. Okay, so in one day, very quickly defeated, and the loss of children and widowhood is a figure of desolation from defeat. And the sorceries and enchantments is what Babylon prided itself upon. But God will judge them. Talking about suddenly, quickly, Babylon being defeated in the future, Revelation chapter 18, verses 7 through 8. And notice the similarity in the language here and what I'll read here in Revelation to what we've been reading in Isaiah. Revelation 18, verses 7 and 8. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, am no widow, and will not see sorrow. So the same description of future Babylon is the description that Isaiah gave of Babylon in the ancient world. Therefore, verse 8, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord who judges her. Now, I want to repeat this because it's going to come to light in scriptures as we continue on, where it says, she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Remember that as we come to a scripture here very shortly. Continuing on in verse number 10. Talking about the pride of Babylon. For you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, no one sees me. Of course, God sees them. Your wisdom and your knowledge, the astrology and the divination that they relied upon, have warped you. And you have said in your heart, I am, which is a divine title, and there is no one else besides me. Absolute pride of Babylon. The Babylonian system. Its wickedness and its prideful attitude. And yet the people trusted to give them protection and to guide them and to predict the future. Verse number 11, therefore, God says, evil or calamity would be a better word, shall come upon you, and you shall not know from where it arises. It will come upon them and they don't even see it coming. And again, that happened to ancient Babylon. And when Jesus Christ returns, it's going to come upon them suddenly as well. They're going to see Christ appear in the sky, and this world is going to tremble. And trouble shall fall upon you. You shall not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which you shall not know. In other words, you're not prepared. So sudden destruction comes upon Babylon, despite their sorcery and their pride in their predictions. Verse number 12 through 15 is a section describing the false religion of Babylon and another reason for its fall. And verse number 12 and 13 is sarcasm used in this section. Verse 12, stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorceries in which you have labored from your youth. In other words, Babylon's history goes back to the ancient times. Using sorceries, etc., enchantments. Perhaps, here's the sarcasm, perhaps you will be able to profit. Perhaps you will prevail. Verse 13, you are wearied in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers and the monthly prognosticators, stand up and save you from what shall come upon you. So God mocks their sorceries and says, perhaps you will prevail. And he also says in verse 13, stand up and save you. See if the astrologers, stargazers, prognosticators can save them as destruction comes. And they didn't save them when Cyrus of Persia and his army conquered Babylon and anciently. And the prognosticators of future Babylon won't be able to save them either. Verse number 14, here's the scripture that I want to point to. Verse 14, behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. But ancient Babylon did not burn. They were taken even without a battle. This is pointing to future Babylon burning. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. It shall not be a coal to be warmed by, nor a fire to sit before. In other words, they'll be so consumed, there'll be no coal or wood left for the fire. So verse 14 tells us, the fire shall burn them. In time, Babylon will be destroyed by fire. Babylon that was conquered by Cyrus of Persia did not burn. This is pointing to future Babylon in its burning. Revelation chapter 18, verses 8 and 9. The Babylon of the end time will burn. Revelation 18, verse 8. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Verse number 9. The kings of the earth who committed fornication, spiritual fornication, and lived luxuriously with her, will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. So again, what Isaiah is writing here is pointing to end time Babylon burning. Verse number 15. Thus they shall be to you with whom you have labored, the diviners, the astrologers, your merchants from your youth, because Babylon was distinguished as merchants, and they will be in the future as well. Thus they shall be with you whom you have labored, your merchants from your youth. They shall wander each one to his quarter. In other words, they'll go their own way, driven from Babylon, and no one shall save you. Your merchants, again, Babylon was known as an empire of merchants, and they will be in the future. A tie into end time Babylon, Revelation chapter 18 and verse number 11, where it says, the merchants of the earth will mourn because no one buys their merchandise. And the last part of verse number 15, God says, no one shall save you. So that brings us to the end of chapter 47 and that prophecy about Babylon. Now we begin chapter 48. And the focus turns completely, turns away from Babylon, and the focus goes to Israel here in chapter 48. In verses 1 through 11, Israel is exhorted to remember God's prophecies. And we're going to see the call to hear, for Israel to hear God, four times in this chapter. In verse number 1, verse number 12, verse 14, and verse 16, Israel is called to hear. And verses 1 through 8 focuses on the sinfulness of Israel. So again, focus goes from Babylon to Israel now in chapter 48. Here's the first call to hear in verse number 1. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are called by the name of Israel, and have come forth from the wellsprings of Judah. So here in verse number 1, we see all of Israel is being called to their attention. We see Jacob, Israel, and also Judah mentioned. So all Israel is called to hear. The last part of verse number 1, who swear by the name of the Lord and make mention of the God of Israel, but not in truth or in righteousness. They make mention of God's name. In other words, what we would call lip service to God. Reminds me of in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, where Christ said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And this is mentioning God's name, but not in truth or in righteousness. So both Israel and Judah here, who took oaths in God's names, are being pointed out as hypocrites because they have not followed God in truth or righteousness, just giving lip service to him. And there's a lesson in this for us. Truth and righteousness should be our way of life. We don't want to be just giving lip service to God. We want to be living a life of truth and righteousness, God's way of life. Continuing on, verse number 2. For they call themselves after the holy city and lean on the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. So they call themselves citizens of Jerusalem and call on God's name, but they do not obey the way that they should, not in truth or in righteousness. Continuing on, verse number 3, in this focus on Israel now, in chapter 48, I have declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth, and I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them, and they came to pass. Verse number 3 is telling us that God, through his prophets, his many prophets that he sent to Israel and Judah, declared to them what would happen for disobedience. And these prophecies did come to pass. You know, we can name a lot of the prophets, you know, Hosea, Amos, Micah, you know, including Isaiah, Ezekiel, etc. Many prophets with prophecies of things that would happen for their disobedience. And God says, I did them, and they came to pass. The captivities of Israel in 721 BC, which the prophets declared would happen for disobedience, it did happen. And then in 585 BC, Judah fell because of their disobedience, which we've been reading about here in Isaiah, and you can read it in other prophetic books as well, those warnings. Verse number 4, because I knew that you were obstinate. The you here is Israel, and the obstinate is their refusal to obey and to repent. Your neck was an iron sinew. You know, reminds me of other places where it says stiff-necked Israelites. Your neck was an iron sinew, and your brow bronze. But even though that the people heard the prophecies, they refused to repent and change. They were obstinate, stiff-necked, etc. Verse number 5, even from the beginning I have declared it to you. Before it came to pass, I proclaimed it to you, you Israel. Lest you should say, my idol has done them, and my carved images and my molded image have commanded them. So God emphasizes that he brings about the prophecies. He says, lest you should say, my idol has done them, because they can't declare that their idols bring about the prophecies. Again, we see idolatry being called out, as it's been through many of these sections of Scripture, because, again, it was one of Israel's chief sins. Verse number 6, continuing on, you have heard, see all this, you know, the prophecies that have been declared. And will you not declare it, because it's God's doing? I have made you hear new things from this time, even hidden things, and you did not know them. So God says that he's giving new prophecies, ones that have not been heard before, nor have the people anticipated them. And it was through the prophecies of Isaiah that it was revealed how that they would be delivered, which we've been talking about here in this Bible study series, how they would be delivered anciently through Cyrus, and again in the future, Cyrus pointing to Jesus Christ and his deliverance. Verse number 7, they are created now and not from the beginning, and before this day you have not heard them, lest you should say, of course I knew them. Of course, if they would have known them, they would have repented and changed. Verse number 8, surely you, Israel, did not hear. Surely you did not know. Surely from long ago your ear was not opened. They had their ears stopped up. They didn't want to listen. They didn't want to hear, and they did not want to change. For I knew you would deal very treacherously, and you were called a transgressor from the womb. So God is pointing out that Israel would not listen, and they were treacherous and rebellious. Where we see this phrase, a transgressor from the womb, pointing to from the very start as a nation, even before they left Egypt, they transgressed. I've got a scripture on the screen here, Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 7, where it points out that Israel defiled themselves with the idols of Egypt. Even before God saved them and delivered them from Egypt, They were defiling themselves with the idols. That's what it means that they were a transgressor from the womb, from the start as a nation, before he even delivered them out. Verse number 9, continuing on. For my name's sake, now we begin to look at the future. For my name's sake, I will defer my anger. In other words, they won't be completely destroyed. And for my praise, I will restrain it from you. They will not be destroyed, but restored, so that I do not cut you off. You, Israel, will not be completely cut off as a nation. Verse number 10, behold, I have refined you. The punishment is the refinement, but not as silver. Or if you're reading in the King James Version, it is with silver. Other translations translate it, found no silver. God didn't find silver, only dross amongst Israel. Thus the refining. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. So God is saying here that he would not completely destroy the people. And the exile captivity is compared to being in a furnace to test and to try them. Verse number 11. For my own sake, for my own sake, I will do it. In other words, the refining process of Israel, that he allowed affliction. For how should my name be profaned? And I will not give my glory to another. So God allowed the affliction to his people so that his name should not be profaned by their idolatry. And God says here in verse number 11, I will do it, allow them to go into the punishment, the affliction. He would not go back on the prophecies or his name would be defamed. Now as we come to verse number 12, we have another call for Israel to listen. Remember, there's four of them in this chapter. And notice I have a title. I don't know if you can read it on the screen here, but there's a title. And that is God's Plan to Redeem Israel. Redeem or Deliver Israel. And this sets us up. We're almost done with chapter, or we're in the middle of chapter 48 right now. This sets us up for chapter 49. And chapter 49, which we'll cover in the next study, focuses on the servant, the Messiah, that will redeem Israel and all the world as well. So God's plan to redeem Israel, and again, this sets us up for chapter 49, the My Servant Messiah. Israel's called to listen here in verse number 12. Listen to me, O Jacob, and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, and I am the last. This is a divine title focusing on Christ the Messiah. And God identifies himself as the one who became Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the My Servant. Where we see the last part of verse 12, I am he, I am the first, and I am the last. Christ quoted that in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, or he said that in Revelation 1, 17, the last part, where he said, I am the first and the last. He is the Redeemer, the Messiah. Verse number 13, focusing on Christ again. Indeed, my hand has laid the foundation of the earth. Christ was the creator. My right hand has stretched out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand up together, focusing on Christ as the Creator. A companion scripture to verse 13, Colossians 1, verse 16. Colossians 1, verse 16, where Paul wrote, for by him, Christ, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And of course, he is the My Servant, the Messiah. Verse 14, all of you assemble yourselves and hear. There's another call for Israel to hear. Who among them has declared these things? God is the one who declares these things. The last part of verse 14, the Lord loves him. This him here is also translated in the New International Version, the Lord's chosen ally, and the hymn here is Cyrus, who was chosen by God to conquer Babylon, Cyrus of Persia. The Lord loves him, the Lord's chosen ally. He shall do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be against the Chaldeans. So this phrase, the Lord loves him, again, the New International Version translates it, the Lord's chosen ally, that Cyrus was used by God to conquer Babylon anciently, pointing to Christ conquering future Babylon at his return, Cyrus being a type of Christ. Again, going back to the title, God's plan to redeem Israel, anciently and in the future. Verse number 15, I have spoken. Yes, I have called him and brought him, and his ways shall prosper. This him here is Cyrus, that God allowed Cyrus to prosper and conquer as a way to redeem Judah anciently. And again, Cyrus is a type of Christ who will redeem his people at his return in the future. Verse number 16, and this is the servant speaking in verse 16. Come near to me. Notice here that the pronoun changes from him of verse 15 to me in verse 16. Come near to me and hear this. Hear this. This is the servant speaking. God's plan, which has been in place from the beginning. Come near to me. Hear this. Have I not spoken in secret from the beginning? God's plan made plain. From the time that was, according to his plan, I was there. And now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. And now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. Focusing on Jesus Christ, the servant Messiah, sent by the Father through the Holy Spirit. And again, God's plan to redeem Israel. And this reflects back to verse number 12. I am, as he said. Okay, continuing on now. Verse number 17, focusing on God's desire for Israel. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer. Here we have divine titles by Isaiah again. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, teaches us to profit spiritually, who leads you by the way you should go. It is God who leads us by the way that we should go. He leads his people according to his plan for them. Now, the last part of verse number 17, notice the phrase again, who leads you by the way you should go. And what is the way that we should go? Notice the first part of verse 18, the admonition. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. That's God's admonition for his people. The way that you should go, keep the commandments. And then the results, then your peace or your prosperity and your well-being would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your peace, your well-being and prosperity would have been like the waves of the sea, constantly rolling forward. And you'd progress spiritually speaking. So if Israel would have obeyed God, things would have gone better for them in their entire history. Oh, if they would have heeded my commandments. Verse number 19, your descendants also would have been like the sand, you know, like the numbers that were promised to the patriarchs. Your numbers will be like the sand on the seashore, and the offspring of your body like the grains of the sand. His name would not have been cut off, nor destroyed, or dealt with from before me. And unfortunately, God did have to deal with Israel and Judah because of their sins. They didn't obey his commandments. But he says they would have been like the sand, great numbers that they could have been. And because of their disobedience, they were not only cut off or dealt with anciently. It refers to the destruction of Jacob's descendants in the great tribulation to come upon this earth. However, as we continue on in verse number 20, redemption is coming. We're finishing up the chapter here, chapter 48. And notice this title, redemption is coming. Verse number 20. Go forth from Babylon. Flee from the Chaldeans. Go forth and flee are Exodus verbs, pointing to another Exodus. You know, it says in Revelation chapter 18, come out of my people, or come out of Babylon, my people. I'm paraphrasing. Go forth from Babylon, flee from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing, declare and proclaim this. Utter it to the end of the earth and say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob, because they'll be delivered from Babylon. So the message here of verse number 20 is to come out of Babylon. Again, Revelation chapter 18, 4, come out of her, my people. And it's to be proclaimed all over the earth, the message of what God has planned to redeem his people. And we've been talking about the fact that the Jews came out of Babylon, out of their ancient captivity, a forerunner of God's people coming out of future Babylonian captivity. Flee from Babylon, go forth from her. God takes care of his people along the way, verse number 21. And they did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow from the rock for them. He also split the rock, and the waters gushed out. So God has taken, did take care of his people anciently, and God's people should reflect upon his mighty acts for them as they are on their way to redemption. And then finally, we come to the last verse in chapter 48, and this is a summary of sorts. And it reflects back to verses 17 and 18. Verse 22, there is no peace, says the Lord, for the wicked. Remember in verse 17, God says the way that you should go. God shows them the way that they should go. And then he said, oh, that they had kept, they would keep my commandments. In other words, there's no peace for the wicked in Israel. And the message is, once deliverance takes place, they must not go back to their former ways. And that's, there's a lesson for that in us as well. God calls us out of this world, gives us understanding of his plan of salvation, the meaning of the Sabbath and the holy days, and his plan that he has for all of mankind. And he's called us to continue on in that formula, repent, be baptized, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit, to walk a life following God. And we should continue walking that walk and not go back to our former ways. And that's what God is emphasizing here in the last part of verse number 22. There's no peace for the wicked. You don't want to go back to your former ways, Israel. That concludes chapter 48. But I just want to mention something for the next Bible study that we'll have next month. Again, notice this title. Redemption is coming. That points to chapter 49, the work of the Messiah, the servant, who is going to redeem and deliver not only Israel, but all the world. And we'll talk about that in chapter 49 in the next Bible study. So this sets us up for chapter 49. But before we do finish, let's talk about some lessons from the study today. First of all, remember God said to Israel, I will carry you. Even I will carry and deliver you. And the lesson for us is God will help and deliver his faithful people, those who fear and obey him. Another lesson is that God called out Israel and Judah, who make mention of God's name, lip service, but not in truth and in righteousness. And the lesson for us is truth and righteousness should mark our way of life. We should be lights and example of God's way, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. So that's the end of the study today, unless anybody's got any questions or comments. Okay, very good.